been talking to me about the past week or so. And that is, you may or may not do Advent leading up to this event, and you may or may not have something like this in your house. How many of you guys keep a nativity scene in the house? Many of you do. So I'm going to point out some things that are wrong with that, just for fun. And I'm not going to talk about the obvious one because I'm not so much into the historical stuff tonight, so I'm not going to beat up on the fact that the wise men are on the scene, even though they don't appear biblically till 2 years later. So we're going to skip that part for tonight. And I want to talk to you a little bit about what Nick just sang about, which was this teenage girl Mary and her betrothed Joseph were making their way to be at an inn, hopefully, because as you can imagine, especially you ladies that have had children, the last thing in the world that you would want to do is to basically be alone and be having your child in a stable. And unlike this stable and our stables that we have at home, this one is really rather clean. I don't see any bugs. There's no actual dirt. It smells pretty good. What Mary was walking into was not a environment like we're seeing here. She wasn't walking into a pristine situation. She would have been a frightened teenage girl who was walking into chaos. It was not what she expected. She was told that she was to give birth to the Messiah, a mind-blowing thought. And then suddenly, as she makes her way and they get to an inn and they're told by people, there's just no room for you here. And every door was closed. And suddenly they realize we've got no time. We've got to take what's available, which is a dirty, stinky stable. And what I think we've done a lot of times, we've sanitized the story, maybe even inadvertently, because it's just easier on our sensibilities, especially at Christmas time when we're all dressed up nice. And it's just easier on us to do it this way, right? But the real story isn't simple, and it's not clean, and it's not sanitized. There was mud, and there was blood, and there were bugs, and there were animals. And they were going on a journey that was going to be challenging every step of the way. And yet through it all, somehow devoutly following this invisible God who they could not see, but they had heard clearly, this is your task. You've been assigned for this and you can do this. And they knew that they would never walk alone. And so Mary and Joseph, as we see them here and they're in the stable and suddenly they have a baby and they put the baby and they already know his name, Yeshua, and as they place Yeshua in his little spot here, I'm wondering what Mary's thinking. And you know, the writer of the song, why he came up with that was he was pondering what it would be like someday to meet Mary and the questions he would ask her. Isn't that interesting? That's how he conceptualized the song. Mary, did you know that your son would walk on water? And he walked through these thoughts about questions you would ask and turned it into a beautiful, actually one of my very favorite songs. I was so happy when I read what was going to happen tonight, because just like last Christmas, Miss Kathy put this service together for us and conceptualized the order and everything and found volunteers that wanted to do certain aspects of it. And then when I saw that Nick was going to be singing Mary, Did You Know? I didn't know he'd be singing that song, and he didn't know what my sermon was going to be on at that point. That I was going to be focusing on the stable, and I was going to be focusing on the fact that there's a reason why it went this way, and there's a reason why it happened in the place it did, in the time it did, in the way it did. And it was really resonates with me, because maybe like you, the people that I relate to really well in this story are the shepherds, who are the ones who found out what was going on, and they are the ones that made their way here. And again, we probably empathize in our modern-day sanitized version, the nice people that come to bring gifts because they're cleaner. They belong. The shepherds didn't belong anywhere. The shepherds were supposed to stay away from people, from cities, from the temple, from the synagogues, from people looked at the shepherds as not only those who took care of the livestock and would bring in the sheep for sacrifices, but they also thought of them as thieves. They had sayings about them, basically, that was the shepherds were basically equivalent of thieves. And so people had no respect for the shepherds. Except God did. God chose, of all the people in the world, to send an angel to tell them what was going on, and then an angelic host to speak over them what was going on. And they ran as one to go and see what exactly was going on. I can relate to the shepherds. I don't relate very well to the kings or wise men that traveled for years to get here. But man, the shepherds, the guys who people didn't think were worth a whole lot, who couldn't make it. If you've ever wondered about your worth with God, if you ever wondered if you fit in God's kingdom, if you fit in church, if even coming here tonight is a little awkward for you, that was me. That was absolutely me. I get that. And the shepherds in the story, they get that. I think they would be really glad if you get to talk to the shepherds someday in heaven. I bet you they would say, I'm really glad that there weren't kings or wise men on the scene. Contrary to what you guys were always depicting in your little nativity scenes, we were glad that when we showed up, it was just us, what we were used to. It was the animals. It was suddenly we see Mary and Joseph, and they needed a word of encouragement. They needed to know that they were loved, that they were supported, that somebody else again was confirming what was going on in their lives. And so the shepherds come and they worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And once again, the parents' minds are blown because they're still trying to understand, what does this mean? How is this possible? And if God really did want to send his son here to be the Messiah, the Savior of all mankind, why would he do it like this? Why would he send him to a stable? Why would he have his son in a manger? He's supposed to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Surely he deserves better than that. Surely he deserved to be exalted. Surely he deserved a greater fanfare for his birth. Our baby births get a lot more fanfare than Jesus did. Why? Why would God do it like that? It's so strange. As the song says, it's such a strange way to save the world. Because God loves the whole world. He loves broken people. He didn't come to chase after and save self-righteous people that got it all figured out. He said he came to seek and save them that are lost. He said he came to give sight to the blind so that we could sing and cry out to God with all confidence. Amazing grace, right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That's the beauty, that's the magic to the story, that the God of the universe provided a way for broken, fallen mankind to have a bridge built back to him. And he did it in such a way that we wouldn't be intimidated by it. We couldn't be intimidated by it because he didn't do it with such great fanfare that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would be unapproachable. He did it in a stable, in a manger. How much more base can you get? How much more dirty and blue collar can you get? For God to say, do you get this? This Savior is for all mankind, any that would come to him. You're not too far away tonight. You're not as far away as you think. In fact, I'll go farther to say you're one step away, one decision away tonight from salvation if you're not there yet. That's the beauty of the story. All it takes is recognizing Jesus. He knew we couldn't do it on our own. God knew that. He never expected us to make it on our own. He never expected us to clean ourselves up and figure it all out. Again, why the shepherds? They knew who they were. Broken, blue-collar, ostracized people who there's no way they were going to make it on their own, so to speak. And nobody can. And God made that very obvious. She said, my Jesus will provide the pathway, the free gift for you. All you have to do is take it. Except that Jesus came and lived as a perfect man till he was 33. And then he died on an old rugged cross for sinners like me so that I could get back home to the Father where God wanted me the whole time. The greatest story ever told. Makes Christmas a lot different, a lot more beautiful. In a few moments, we're going to sing together a song that you have heard many times, and I hope the symbolism isn't lost either, that as we bring down the lights and we light our candles, that we're reminding that the light came into the world, and that was Jesus. And he shared that light with others, knowing that he would be leaving so that they would then share that light with others. That's what we symbolize tonight. If you want to know why we have the candles and hold the candles and light each other's candles, we're symbolizing something. The reason that this guy stands before you able to share the good news of the gospel is because one day somebody took their candle and they shared it with me. And I finally heard who Jesus was. And I'd been to church, and I'd been around religion, and I would say I believed in God, but I was as far from God as a person can be until somebody said, no, the problem you have is you don't know Jesus. And then when they finally shared with me who Jesus was and what he wanted to do in my life, and I held on to that light, and I've had the privilege of sharing that light with others ever since. So if you bow heads and hearts as I pray and I invite Jacqueline to come up. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come here to think about this amazing Christmas story and how you did things so strangely through shepherds, through a stable, through a manger, through regular people like us, knowing that makes you accessible to us, God, and we just thank you for that tonight. I pray blessing over each and every person, Father, whether they are so close to you, they feel like they could reach out and touch you tonight, or so far away, they just wonder if you would even give them the time of day. I pray, Father, that you would draw each of us closer to you. See how much the Messiah, Jesus, loves us. I pray your blessing, God, as we leave this place tonight. I pray that we would do so in peace, that we would do so in love, that we would do so in faith, that we would do so in joy, that we would not forget why we're celebrating this Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.